This is Caps PA announcer Wes Johnson, and you're listening to For the Pod.
Hello, everybody, and welcome to a brand new edition of What the Puck. It is a Washington Capitals podcast, which means it's a podcast about your 2018 Stanley Cup champions. Thank you all for listening to us on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. Well, this is not the show we really wanted to record in early May. It took us a little while to do it, but unfortunately the Capitals are out of the running for the Stanley Cup. They got beat in the first round in Game 7, went to double OT against Carolina Hurricanes, who beat Barry Trotz in just four games.
Hey, we're going to get to that later.
I'm still in shock.
You're stealing my bits is what you're doing.
I am still in shock that the Capitals are not playing more hockey. But joining
me... Are you really, though?
Yeah. Joining me, as always, we're going to talk about it. Coach Dan...
Oh, we're going to talk.
It's been a weird 2 weeks. Unfortunately, we couldn't record last week. Had some technical difficulties, but let's review the Capitals' first round exit. Caps came out game seven, and first 20 minutes.
Did they though?
They looked like an awesome team, a Stanley Cup champion team. Looked like they could really run the world, and then they just didn't finish. It looks like they got tired after 20 minutes. What happened here in this series against those bunch of jerks, the Carolina Hurricanes, who are really, I mean, running roughshod around the entire NHL right now?
They played like absolute garbage. No, they played soft, and they did the entire series. It was a weird, I don't know if that's the right way to put it, but it's been kind of an odd series where you came into it with, like, all you really was like, guys, remember last year? Remember how you did in terms of your ability to play that? Those series against, what was it, Columbus, and then Pittsburgh, and then Tampa, and then Vegas, and how you were able to just, you didn't sit back. You shut them down in terms of your ability to play quality, solid, defensive playoff hockey while also scoring goals. And then they went into this playoffs, and they were like, what are we doing here again? Everything was just, it was like everyone was playing incredibly soft. They were playing slow. Your star players were doing well. Your superstar players were doing very well. Your star players were doing okay. And then your role players weren't doing enough. And they definitely weren't doing enough until the end. And you could see as that game went on, game seven, and as they got further and further into overtime, it just seemed less and less and less likely that they were going to score a goal, that being the Capitals. And it seemed just much more and more likely that Carolina was going to be the one that was going to come out on top. And Carolina deserved it. They deserve to move on to the next round. They deserve to be going up against the Islanders, or well, now they've gotten past them as Brandon has spoiled it. They deserve to be where they're at, and the Capitals didn't deserve it. They didn't play hard enough. They didn't play like they really wanted it. Not everybody. Not enough of them. You know, outside of a handful of guys, it seemed like everyone else was just kind of coasting. And I noticed that some players had their injuries, but they had that last year. I mean, hell, Backstrom needed help holding the cup up. Because of his finger?
Yeah, whatever it was. One of his fingers was broken.
And he needed help holding the cup, but he still played fantastic throughout the playoffs. And if you're not prepared to step up, what are you doing there?
It definitely felt like this team was a one-trick pony right down the stretch. I mean, once they got into overtime and double OT, they loved to do the dump and chase. I mean, it was like the one move that they had, and it felt like they weren't the dynamic team that they were last year. But it's really shocking to say that because it's a lot of the same guys. It's a couple different players. You know, Nick Dowd made history getting a penalty shot and a goal in that series. But still, Nick Dowd, he's no Jay Beagle. What was the big difference here from last year to this year? I mean, it's a lot of the same players. Somebody else behind the bench is sort of new as the head coach. But is that really the only reason why this team failed?
No, I don't think it would be fair to say necessary. I don't think it's fair to blame everything on on Reardon. I don't think it's entirely his fault. You can't sit there and be like, you're the reason they suck. Like, that was definitely not the case.
Because, well, he also was here last year. He raised the cup. I mean...
Well, yeah, I mean, he wasn't, like, the boss. He wasn't the guy. But, yeah, there's definitely... I mean, there's definitely an issue going on. But this is... The thing is, though, we've seen this before. So if everyone's going to come out and be like, well, it's Reardon's fault. Well, it wasn't Reardon's fault years ago when they kept doing this crap where they would go to the playoffs and then just not play well enough and not play hard enough.
Right. Was he around when Adam Oates was around?
No, I thought Reardon came with Trotz.
Yeah, that's what I was trying to say. I mean, they didn't even make it to the playoffs.
No, Trotz, Boudreau, whoever it was. You know, the Caps, they kind of just fell back into how they used to be and how they used to play.
Well, I think the biggest difference player-wise is the fact that a lot of people back in the day would blame Ovi for the lack of playoff contention, and they said that he was lazy. They said that he wasn't participating.
Which is another crap because his stats have always been good in the playoffs.
Right, but if you look at Ovi this series, I personally think he was the only, him and Holtby were the only two guys really working out there.
Yeah, I mean, I think I have to go look at the stats specifically to state. Though, when we looked at the last show before my computers decided to not work anymore, you know, Hagelin wasn't putting any points up. Verano wasn't putting any points up. I know he was hurt, but he was playing. You know, he was out there. And if you're out there and you're able to at least give it a shot, you should be able to do something. I mean, hell, you have plenty of players that play injured, and they seem to be fine. Stevenson hadn't had any points at that point. Smith-Pelly didn't have any points. Boyd, oh, I mean, he only played one game. You know, Burakovsky kind of started to step up Connolly a little bit, but it was too little too late by that point. The way you looked at how this team was playing, they were not playing anywhere near well enough to deserve to move on.
Now, Carl Hagelin, he's a guy you brought up. We were all very happy with that trade acquisition. He had some major wheels.
Still am.
But he's a big question mark right now because his contract's up. So from what you've seen in the regular season, what you saw in this one round of the postseason, is he a guy you would potentially re-sign?
How old is he? I'm trying to look it up real quick. Hang on. Let me turn the thing and it'll tell me where's his name on this thing. 30 years. I think it depends on what he wants. You know, is he looking for 5 years? Because at that point, I'm a little hesitant. You know, is he going to be able to play until he's 35, 36? At a high level if he wants more money. But I like what Hagelin brought to the roster, and I don't necessarily have an issue with hanging on to him, but you have to look at your roster overall to some extent in terms of their age. I mean, Ovechkin's 33, Backstrom's 31, Oshie's 32, Hagelin's 30, Eller's 30. So your core, I mean, I wouldn't say necessarily that Hagelin's part of their core, obviously, or maybe even Eller, but your core group of Backstrom, Oshie, and Ovechkin are all in their 30s.
And
some of them are getting close to what they say is the wrong side of 30 or the downside of 30.
And all of their contracts are coming up pretty soon. There's a lot of question marks right now with the Capitals and who will be on the ice in just 2 years.
I mean, you have Ovechkin's contracts up in 2 years. Backstrom's up after next season. Holtby's up after next season. Who else? Or picks up at the end of the season.
Well, since you brought him up, is this the last we've seen Orpik in a Caps jersey?
I don't know. I said that last time it was, and he still found his way back. It depends on what he's going to cost, and I think at some point you need to be prepared to move on with the young guys. I think Jonas Engenthaler showed in the playoffs that he's ready to step up and play more and play every night. I think he's definitely going to get a significant look next preseason, and he'll likely have a roster spot. I think Christian Juice, even though he regressed a little bit in the playoffs in terms of his performance, you know, it was his second season. You do have those sophomore slumps. But I expect that he's going to be able to rebound next season, especially after that long-term injury. You know, he may have still been struggling a little bit with that. And so I think with a nice long summer off, unfortunately a long summer off, a lot of these guys that were hurt will have a good chance to heal and rest and refocus themselves. But like you said, they, you know, there's a lot of guys that need new contracts and they don't have a lot of cap space. So if you're looking at a guy like Brooks Orpik, he's probably pretty far down your list in terms of guys that you're looking at right now in terms of what do you want to do. I mean, I think outside of Backstrom and Holtby, because they're still at least under contract for next season, you got to decide, do we want Carl Hagelin back? You got to decide, do we want Andre Burakovsky back? He's a restricted free agent who's coming off $3 million. I think it was, if they offer him a qualifying, if they send him a qualifying offer, whatever the terminology may be, it's like 3.25, 3.5, not 3.5, it's like 3.2, 3.25, something like that, I think is what it has to be. That's way too much money for a guy who, as streaky as he is and as poor as he was last season, you know, can you waste, when you don't have a lot of cap space, can you waste it on that, a guy that you can't necessarily rely on? He's only 24. He's still got plenty of years in the NHL in front of him, but there's a lot of questions there. You got Brett Connolly, who's going to be an unrestricted free agent. I think Yashkin's restricted. He's gone. I was going to play a game, but now I'm just kind of playing the game by myself. I was going to play this game with you. Should we do off-season stuff now, or do you still just want to talk about the season?
No, just let it flow. Let's continue.
Right, let's play a game. We'll play a game called "Do You Want This Guy Back?" That's a terrible name for it. We'll come up with a better name later. All right, so I'm going to say a player's name, and you're going to say yes, you want him back, or no, he can go. And we're not talking about money.
Okay.
Money, that's too confusing, because then we got to go into the whole thing of, like, you know, you need to be, because if you want to go and re-sign Carl Hagelin, you're not just looking at next season's cap hit. You need to look at the next couple of seasons, because you need to know how much you're going to have available to re-sign Backstrom, how much you're going to have available to re-sign Holpe, how much you're going to have to re-sign Ovechkin, knowing that guys are getting way more money. That's not good English. That guys are getting more money than he is in their cap hit and their yearly salary. Players that are arguably not as good as him, you know. And then all right. So let's play the game. Carl Hagelin. I would like him back. Yes or no, Brandon?
I would like him back as well.
Carl Hagelin, 30 years old, left wing.
I like him. I'd like to have him back.
Terms, RS. What does that mean? Retained salary transaction. Oh, okay. That's irrelevant. All right. So you would like Hagelin back. Andrei Burakovsky, 24 years old, restricted free agents.
See you later. Bye.
Okay. Do you offer him? I agree. To an extent. Do you offer him a qualifying offer?
No.
Okay. So here's what the team and the people have talked about them doing with Burakovsky, and I'm already breaking the game. You don't send him a qualifying offer, which makes him essentially an unrestricted free agent, but then you can renegotiate at a lower rate.
Yeah.
But that also, the risk there is that he goes and he's like, well, screw you, I'm going to go play for somebody else.
See ya.
Or do you trade his rights? The problem with trading his rights is you're not going to probably get that much for it.
Right.
Right? Like, had they traded him at the deadline, it's possible they would have gotten more.
Yeah, trade him. Trade the rights. Trade him. That's fine.
All right. So you're saying
get something rather than nothing.
Either way, goodbye, Andre.
Yeah.
All right. Brett Connolly, 27 years old, unrestricted free agent. Made 1.5 last year. So his qualifying offer is somewhere probably like 1.75, 2 mil, something around there. Keep in mind, he had a good regular season. His statistics, let me see.
I would, at the right price, yes. Bring him back.
Okay,
he's still a third line guy.
Stats on this damn thing.
He's a bottom
22
sixer.
Goals, 24 assists. So he's got 46 points this past season for a third, fourth line guy. I have to go back on how I do it. There it is. Okay. So you're saying bring him back depending on the money. And I think that's obviously the case for everybody. I'd like to see Connolly back. But if it's anything more than 2 mil, I'm hesitant.
Yeah, 2 mil is kind of the cutoff for me.
And I feel like if I offer him something, I feel like if you offer him more years, you'll probably be able to get him for less money. So if it's like 2 mil for 3-4 years, so he's 27 now, I'm okay with that. Because that's not that much for a third or fourth line guy, especially with the cap ceiling continually going up. Dmitry Yashkin, 26 years old, restricted free agent.
See ya.
Yeah, I'm agreeing. You know, I think he's a nice player to have. He doesn't produce enough. I think the problem is the Caps don't have a lot of young guys. You can be like, let's bring them up. And we'll talk about one of those guys in a minute.
Yeah.
That can come in and fill those roles. So it's kind of hard to say. Devonte Smith-Pelly, unrestricted free agent, 26 years old, $1 million contract last year.
I'd bring him back. I think he's a good guy to have in the locker room. He might not have had the greatest regular season, but he's a rally guy.
So I bring him back, but I feel like there needs to be some sort of guarantee regarding his off-season conditioning, because he struggled with that apparently last season, and that's why I think he had a poor season, is that he just did not come into season in shape, and he started way behind everybody else.
I think being sent down to the AHL, hopefully that would be enough of a kick in the butt to get you to focus again.
I don't think he comes back. I think they don't try to re-sign him, but I wouldn't mind having him back. Jacob Vrana, 23 years old, restricted free agent.
Give him lots of money. That's the future right there.
Well, let's hope so, because he didn't do dick in the playoffs.
But he was hurt.
Man up! You're playing in the professional hockey. Man up. Unless something's falling off, put the puck in the damn net. And even if you're hurt, it still doesn't excuse questionable decisions. That's all I'm saying. Chandler Stephenson, restricted free agent, 25 years old. I'd bring him back.
For the right price, bring him back.
Well, his cap hit was like 620. I just like went to another page. This is why I can't see it. It was like 625,000 or something. So it's not going to cost a lot. 11 points. So
if you give him 800, sign him again.
I'm fine with that. I think he's a nice role player to have. You can put him up in the press box if you have to. You know, you can't get rid of everybody. I keep Chandler Stephenson. I wonder if that was kind of his second real season in the NHL. If he was a little bit of a slump, I could see him coming back and doing better. Moving on to defense, Brooks Orpik, 38 years old, unrestricted free agent.
Bring him on as a coach.
So you're saying, well, that's assuming he's going to retire. Let's assume he doesn't retire.
You're done, dude.
Okay, bye, Brooks.
Bring him back as a coach. Bring him and what was his name? Why can't I remember his name? Knubel. Bring him and Knubel back. Have him coach.
No, isn't Knubel working for the Red Wings?
Is he?
Oh, that's the note I have to add for around the NHL. I totally forgot about that. We'll talk about that in a minute. Because there's two things actually. I'm okay with bringing Orpik back, but he's so far down on my list in terms of guys I want to worry about. And if he asks for anything more than $1 million, have a nice day. You're out. Christian Juice, 24 years old, restricted free agent.
Yeah, he's got some years left on him. He can get better.
Yeah, he's coming back. And I hit the wrong button. And I think that's it pretty much in terms of guys that are on the caps. There's a bunch of the young guys, Shane Gersick, Hampus Gustafsson, Brian Pinho. Yeah, no, there's a lot of guys. Nathan Walker, Riley Barber, you know, Liam O'Brien. But none of these guys are going to make it into the NHL unless something crazy happens. Aaron Ness, Vanacek, and Parker Milner also need new contracts. And I expect them all at least to get offered something unless they're going to be unrestricted. So what were we talking about before we got onto this game we were playing?
Carl Hagelin. Do you re-sign him? I think we both agreed.
Yeah, that's how we got into it. So we kind of covered all the bases there in terms of the players we'd like to have back and not have back. No, I like Hagelin. It depends on the money. Right now, my main focus going into this offseason, I think their primary thing is Vrana, because that's kind of going to set you up for how much money you have to spend. I would not at all be surprised to see one of Matt Niskanen or Dmitry Orlov to get traded.
See you, Orly. See you, bye.
So I think it's going to be Niskanen because he's 5 years older.
Shut up.
And a whole lot more money for a little bit less time. But I like Niskanen. I think he regressed this season a little bit. He's 32 years old. I would not at all be surprised to see them move on from him. And then, you know, maybe you go and sign a guy or you give – you know, Kempney and Jensen more minutes next season. I think Vrana is definitely the first guy that they're going to have to worry about. I think if you move out from either Niskanen or Orlov, which I still fully feel to be Niskanen, that you have now more cap room to play with. Then I think you go and you look at, you know, your next big guy that you're worried about is Christian Juice. And then Hagelin. And you have to figure out what you're doing with Burakovsky. And I think he can wait.
He can wait.
Because we've been waiting for him to show up.
Yeah, he hasn't done that yet.
Yeah. No, I'm just kidding.
But
no, he has, like, he's, the thing is, he's streaky. He reminds me a lot.
Semin.
No, not him, because he's not trying to play the bongos on one of the stalls. No, he reminds me of Tomas Fleischmann, who, and I think I've said this before, who was incredibly streaky. But when he was on, he was really good. The problem was he was off a lot. And so he just wasn't good enough. And I feel like that's kind of Burakovsky right now.
Burakovsky, you can't count on him. You just can't. I mean, I've said it before.
It's more of a money thing, right? Like if he's coming in and it's like $2 million, I'm like, all right, I'll give him $2 million to see if he'll show up next season. But if he's going to be making, you know, is he taking up another $1.5 million of your cap hit or is asking for more? No, you can't do that. Not when you have to replace a bunch of guys and you need to look into the future.
I think Burakovsky thinks a lot of himself. I think he's a little full of himself.
Well, I hope that all NHLers are kind of like that.
Well, anybody in sports or in the public eye has to be a little sure of themselves, which is, I mean, is fine, but I don't think it's warranted with him. If you remember when he got drafted, Burakovsky threw a fit because they wanted him to go to Erie and play for the Otters to get used to the North American rink, and he didn't want to do that. He wanted to go back home. And I know you said, well, you know, it's a foreign land and it's hard to get used to, blah, 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 blah. But then he came to the Capitals and was a part of the big leagues, and he got sent down to Hershey. And again, he threw a fit because he was playing in Hershey. He didn't want to be a Hershey Bear. He wanted to be a Capital, which you think would be motivation to get better. And then he comes then to the Capitals and he kind of plays, you know, so-so. He's not the greatest player. He's good, not great. And if you're getting into those, you know, couple $1 million price bracket, you got to show that you can be a $2-3 million player long term, and he just hasn't.
No, I think it's not possible to disagree with you in that regard. His statistics don't match up to what his salary and his cap it is. And if they don't match up, something's got to change. And I think the reality is that Andrei Burakovsky might need, you know, a new environment. He might need to play for another team. And maybe you go out, and I can't think of anyone in particular, but you might need to go and find a team that has a sort of similar situation with a guy who isn't producing at the level that team is expected of him. And maybe they're like, look, you give us your headache, we'll give you ours, and we'll go from there. So maybe that's when Burakovsky, he goes to whoever, and the Caps get a promising guy that hasn't played well, and hopefully his cap it isn't quite as high. And we'll, you know, we go from there. But if I honestly would be a little surprised if Burakovsky is playing on this team next season.
I can see Burakovsky going to Vegas. I can see him going to Dallas. Maybe even a team like the Avalanche. You know, a team that's
going to go hang out with Groovy.
Yeah. A team that's almost, not a rebuild, but is on the way up and is doing well. I mean, Dallas and Colorado are still fighting for their lives right now. So actually, Colorado is, I think Dallas already, they moved on.
Dallas, stop spoiling what we're talking about later.
But
God, that's right. Two of the four you've ruined.
Sorry. But, people are going to know what we're already talking about by the time they hear this. But, you're talking about Hagelin, Verana being some of the biggest choices of the offseason. You got to think about Braden Holtby and Nick Backstrom now.
Yeah.
Because, I mean, Alex Ovechkin, his contract is up in 2021. I still predict he is not coming back to the Capitals, at least for a year. We've talked about
that.
We've already talked about that, but dude's going to play for Russia in the Olympics. So just prepare yourselves for that. But here's the thing. Backstrom
will definitely free up some cap space.
He'll free up some cap space. Backstrom is going to, if that were to happen, Backstrom would be your highest paid guy, I have to assume. So you got to make sure he's got some.
Wait.
You got to make sure he would have some big money to keep him in Washington, because you don't want to lose both your star players. But Holtby to me is the biggest question mark, because Holtby has a big contract coming up. If you remember, they went to arbitration last time they had a contract negotiation. But in the background in Hershey, you've got Samsonov, who is right there kind of knocking on Holtby's door. He's just
waving from outside. Hey!
Remember me? He's the number one goalie prospect in the world right now. And you have a new team coming to Seattle. So if you have a new team coming, you know they're going to take one of your players, and you have a goalie who costs a lot of money.
Can we trade them Burakovsky now?
That would be nice, wouldn't it? Sign him just for that. But
We'll take your first round pick.
You have a goaltender who was very good, probably the best goaltender that the Capitals have ever had, but he cost a lot of money, and then you have the world's best prospect waiting in the wings. I mean, quite a predicament there, but if you don't protect Braden Holtby in that Seattle lottery, I mean, he's good as gone, but
when's Seattle coming in again?
Not this draft, next draft, 2020.
Okay, so here's what makes me think. Samsonov, he's going to sit in the minors for another year. So then I think at that point, would he be eligible? Let me see what his contract situation is like. I don't know the rules, but would he be eligible? He's got a contract through 2020-2021. So would he be eligible to be picked by Seattle? He might not. And then the Caps can deal with that problem after the draft in terms of, well, then Copley's gone and they probably give.
Well,
so my guess is what they do is they give Holpe like a 3-year deal. And at that point, you know, when he's in like the last year of his deal, he might be more attractive to a team if they decide that Samsonov's their dude. Yeah, no, I think that Holpe, you know, he gets a 3-year deal and they deal with the problem later. And it's, you know, maybe his last year of his deal or second last year of his. Wait, am I getting the right timeline? So if it's. And then you have it out. Maybe a 2-3-year deal. It could be longer. And then, you know, if Samsonov comes up and I think he plays a year of backup to Holpe, and if he shows that he can be a starter in the NHL, then the Caps have a real decision to make. Now, you talk about Ovechkin going, and, you know, that's a big cap hit that you're getting rid of. But not only that, do you then look at, hey, do we move Samsonov, trade him to a team for their star winger, and now we've replaced Ovechkin?
I mean, that's the thing. It's
I still think Ovechkin's coming back. But in the event
he's
like,
coming back in
2023, you won't let me play in the Olympics, I'm going home, then I think that they could make that move. And they could be like, well, you know what? We have this star goalie who's going to be really good, but we also have this goalie still here who's also really good. And goalies do tend to last longer, in you know, play at a high level longer potentially than forwards and defensemen. And so maybe you hang on to Holpe for longer and you use Samsonov to bring you in a replacement for Ovechkin if he decides to go home for a year.
And I think Ovi does. I mean, I've not been very quiet about that.
I believe you've mentioned it once before.
Yeah, I don't know what they're going to do. I mean, you've got Copley, who's still signed here. You got Holpe. You got Samsonov. You still got Vitek Vanacek, who he's not too shabby either.
He reminds me, he's, you know, if he comes in the NHL, he's a backup.
Yeah, but I mean, you could use him instead of Phoenix.
No, because I think once they move on from Phoenix, is it Phoenix or however he spells it? Phoenix? What is it? Anyways, I think that's when it's Samsonov's time to shine and to show that he's ready. So I think he's got another year in Hershey, which probably he won't be thrilled about. But my guess is he's got another year in Hershey. And then after, you know, he's no longer eligible for the draft, if he is, then they're kind of screwed, because I have to imagine either he or Holpe are getting taken. Again, we said that last time with Holpe and...
Well, no, we were thinking Grubauer was gone.
Yeah, and they were like, Nate Smith? Oh, crap. So, and then they won the cup. So, it didn't really hurt as bad as I thought it would.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I, you know, I think they try and hide Samsonov in the minors for another year. And then if Samsonov turns out to be the guy, then they move Holpe. But I think if Ovechkin decides to go the route of, I want to play in the Olympics, so peace, then I think you use Samsonov as a bargaining chip to go get a star player from a team that really wants him and has enough forwards to be able to get rid of one, kind of like TJ Oshie. And I'm not comparing Oshie to Ovechkin in that particular way, but, you know, if Ovechkin leaves, that is a giant freaking hole in your lineup. Because, I mean, Oshie... No, he's well, a winger. Right
not
here.
Just your lineup.
Who the hell fits into that spot?
Your entire franchise is changed. Because
no, because I think you can still...
Nah, man, this is the OV era.
No, I get that part. That's not my point. Yes, in terms of a marketing standpoint, it's a little bit less. But you still... Because no one else on their team is quite as bombastic as he is. But you still have Holpe. You still have... Maybe because that's a follow, but you still have Holpe and Backstrom in terms of the and Carlson in terms of guys that you can use for marketing purposes, and they're still going to be a good team, not nearly as good, but that is a almost $10 million cap hit that now has gone off your books. So if there's a big name free agent that shows up, oh, you can throw a ton of money and be like, look who you get to play with. You get to play with Nicholas Backstrom and Braden Holtby's it behind you in net, and John Carlson can feed you pucks on the power play. So if I'm a free agent, I'm going, I mean, it's not as often that you get a guy like a Tavares that shows up in free agency, but there's a chance. And I don't know if I can find out necessarily who would be available when Ovechkin's contract is up.
So just in your mind, and just no,
he's not leaving, and you're being crazy.
Well, no, just in your mind, no, don't worry about contracts. Don't worry about money.
you've got $10 million to spend, which means you can pretty much buy whatever player you want in the current league. Who would it be?
Wait, hold on. Let me make sure I understand this correctly. I can buy anyone. Money's irrelevant.
You have $10 million, which is more than pretty much any superstar out there is making right now.
Okay, I can't afford it.
Who do you pick? Don't worry about
Crosby. What, no.
Don't worry about when their contract's up.
Holy crap. How big a story would that be? No. Speaking of them, they might there were a bunch of stories that seem to have died down that they might be moving on from Malkin. Who would I go get? I mean, look at one of the young guys, oh my God, I suck. What's his freaking name? God damn it. Down in Tampa.
Stamkos?
Kucherov.
Oh.
Well, I'll take him too, but Kucherov. I take freaking Connor McDavid. That would be amazing. I wouldn't mind Eichel or
Austin Matthews.
Austin, he's not going anywhere, but I wouldn't mind on Austin Matthews. This is an easy game to play. I would take Pettersson in Vancouver. I'm not taking Patrick Kane as much as you might want that.
Not anymore. I did back in the day. He ain't worth it anymore.
Yeah, because he's a crazy person. I don't know. But, that's what I'm trying to figure out. Can Cap Friendly tell me free agents? Ooh. What year's Ovechkin's contract up?
2021.
Wait. After the 2020-2021 season. That was hard to say. position. Okay, we're going to do – hang on. You fill the air, and then I'll come up with something in a second.
There's a lot of choices out there. I mean, Ovi –
all right, so here's the guys that are – okay, here we go. Ready? This actually worked out perfectly. Number one player in terms of cap hit that's going to be available in that offseason, Alex Ovechkin. After him, Corey Perry. I don't want him. He's an a-hole. Getzlaf, no thanks. He's old. Krejci, old. Stepan, old. Stastny, old. God, is any of these guys not old? Dang, Zetterberg will be 40. I don't want Nugent Hopkins. I think he's good, but he's not good enough to fill that hole. You're looking for a winger, really. Steen, no. Landeskog, I don't think he'll get there. I think Colorado will sign him. But if Gabriel Landeskog becomes available, yes, please. He'd only be 28. Who else? No, I don't want Jaden Schwartz. I mean, I wouldn't mind having Jaden Schwartz on the team. I just don't think he's worth it. He wouldn't fill in that hole. Like, you're looking for someone that can fill the hole, right? The Ovechkin-sized hole on the roster.
Right.
So I think you're going to have to go by trade. And I don't think you're going to get a guy as good as him, but I think you're going to get a guy who, you know, you might be able to go get two guys. This is just a stupid conversation because he's not going. But I think you might be able to go and get two guys to fill that hole. But I think really the reality is it kind of depends what happens with Ovechkin in regards to what's going to happen with Holpe and Samsonov.
I think so, too. Because I think
Samsonov is your big bargaining chip.
Yeah. I agree. I mean, I think you might not see those contracts this year because of that. I mean, they might not
Terms of Holpe and Backstrom?
Yeah.
I think if they intend to re-sign them, that will happen maybe this offseason. I think once the dust kind of settles with everybody else, that could happen. I could also see them happening first, though, but I really think no, they're going to sign like Verona first and then they'll worry about the rest. I could see it happening during next season as a possibility.
Sure.
Especially if they like struggle out of the gate to get some goodwill.
I can agree with that.
I fully expect Holpe and Backstrom to be re-signed. I think both. Come on, phone. Why aren't you working so I can look at the freaking cap friendly? Backstrom is a cap hit of $6.7 million. Oh, that's going to hurt when that one goes up. And Holpe's at $6.1 million. That's definitely going to go up. And Holpe's only 29, whereas Backstrom is 31. So it'll be interesting to see what they do and how much they're going to ask for.
This is the off season, folks. We don't get to talk about actual hockey on the ice.
I like this sort of stuff, talking about like the mood. I always enjoy being like you call me coach, which I always found entertaining because I enjoy the general manager aspects of it a lot more in terms of like who are the players they're going to bring in and who's this guy and oh, what can they do? Like we were talking about the, you know, if you move out from Ovechkin, who can you go inside? I'm like, oh, this seems like so much fun. I get to go and find all these new players.
Well, you see,
like, I would love to get the Kucherov, except for he did not show up in the playoffs. But I would love to get Kucherov for a player of his caliber. But I think really the Caps need to go draft heavy on forwards in the next year or two, at least a year, if not two or three, because the forward prospects are that cupboard is rather bare. Whereas defensively, they seem to be doing quite well, and goaltending wise. And I think you know it's been great, but now you move some of those guys out to be able to bring in these forwards that you need, especially if you move out from Andrei Burakovsky, because someone needs to start scoring some goals. And if you lose Ovechkin, someone definitely needs to start scoring some goals.
It'll be an interesting time in the next couple of years, but I think we kind of covered what we're kind of thinking about this off season. What else is going on in Caps Road? Anything else? I mean,
well, Reardon says he expects the entire coaching staff to return, but I don't know how you can do that. I fully expect changes, or not expect, but I think changes should be made. I think their power play struggled incredibly in the postseason. They were fourth amongst the NHL in the regular season, their power play. And then they were ninth in the playoffs out of 16 teams. That is unacceptable. And that stupid slingshot with the power play seriously needs to go.
Yes, I completely agree.
I don't understand that at all. I would like to see some changes made to this coaching staff, because I think the way the team regressed in the playoffs is unacceptable for a team with this much talent. Unless it comes out and like all the players were like, you know, dead or something. And you're like, oh, okay, well, they're playing as zombies. Clearly they were going to struggle. But if that, you know, doesn't end up being the case, something was wrong and something needs to be changed. Other Caps news. We got five Capitals playing in the IIHF World Championship. Ovechkin, Orlov, and Kuznetsov are playing for Russia, and then Vrana and Dmitry Yashkin are playing for the Czech Republic.
A little surprised there's no John Carlson playing for the U.S.
A lot of guys are probably like, no thanks.
Yeah, I mean, I guess after you win a Stanley Cup, you're not really feeling the World Championship, but...
Not so much.
I don't know. I guess five players ain't bad. You knew the Russians were going immediately.
Yeah, that's true.
But
and credit to them, or props to them. They like, you know, they understand they want to represent their country, and I get that. But, and like Ovechkin, I don't think anybody can go at him and be like, how dare you? Why didn't you show up in the playoffs? Because dude did. Like, he gave everything for this team in the playoffs.
Yes, so he was one of the only ones.
Any grief. You know, Orlov was okay, because Kuznetsov, I felt like, should have done better. The questionable decisions made by him in the playoffs is really something that I'm concerned about for his, you know, future on this roster, considering his cap hit. Vrana, you know, no points. That's kind of a really big problem. And yes, he had an injury, but if he had an injury, what's he doing playing for the Czech Republic?
It's very true.
And Dmitry Yashkin, whatever, like, he's probably not back next season. No offense, dude. So that's the news I got for the Caps.
All right, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go down on the farm. All right, Coach Dan, keep us up to date. What's going on down on the farm? What is going on with those Hershey Bears and South Carolina Stingrays?
Well, Hershey won their first round of playoff series in five games, defeating Bridgeport in overtime last Sunday. Not Sunday, but the Sunday before that. They moved on to the second round, taking on Charlotte, which started with back-to-back away games last Friday, followed up with game three yesterday. That being Tuesday, at the Giant Center. It hasn't been going very well for Hershey, as they are down 3-0 going into tonight's game four at the Giant Center. Hopefully, when you are listening to this, their season hasn't come to a close.
I gotta say, not looking great, because after the second intermission, as we're recording this, Charlotte Checkers are up 3-0 against the Bears.
Oh, that's not good. That is...
So it's been a great season, guys. What happened?
Oh, God. Everybody in the – see, we had South Carolina, Hershey, and the Caps on the playoffs, and they're all about to get out. Oh, that's not good. That's not good. But in other Bears news, Brandon, as you pointed out, we were talking about this before the show, Riley Barber has come out and said that he's unlikely to be re-signing with the Washington Capitals next season. He's scheduled to be an unrestricted free agent, and it seems like he's a little frustrated about the lack of opportunities that he has had with his organization. That's what's going on down on the farm.
Now, I do want to talk a little bit about Riley Barber. I'm very confused by this because he says he doesn't see himself re-signing with Washington. However, he got drafted by Washington. He's been in the organization since his college years. I guess it's just the nature of the beast, but I don't understand why you would keep a guy in your organization for so long and then just let him go. Like, there's no return on that investment.
I mean, if you don't feel like he's going to produce, if you don't feel like he's going to be an NHL player in his career, you're not really going to get anything for him. And I guess you could always trade him for like a 7th-round pick. But teams are probably looking at going, well, if we're interested in Riley Barber and we're another organization, we'll just wait. I mean, yeah, we could, you know, sacrifice a 7th-round pick or something for him because he might want to sign for someone else. But I don't know. You know, he had a really good offseason. I mean, a really good regular season with Hershey. I'd like to see him given a shot to make the roster next season, but it seems like the Caps never really, or at least don't believe that he's an NHL quality player.
Now, we posted this story up on our Facebook page. NBC Sports Washington did the story talking about Riley Barber, but we had a comment on our Facebook page from Dale Valentine. He's a Bears season ticket holder. He says, I've been watching Riley Barber and not really been impressed until this year. He plays on the top line in Hershey, but don't think he would work as a fourth liner in DC. He seems to avoid contact. So,
last I checked, hockey is a physical sport from time to time.
Yes, doesn't seem like Barber really wants it to be. So thank you, Dale, for commenting on that story with us. We do appreciate you listening and checking out some of the articles that we post. And it's good to hear from people that have Hershey season tickets because, like Coach Dan and I said, we don't get to go to very many Hershey Bear games. We don't get to see them in person. We kind of get to see highlights when somebody does something really good. When a player isn't so hot, you know, not a lot of people are talking about them. So it's always good to hear from Hershey fans. We have to thank Dennis, I hope I'm saying the last name right, Vitone. For offering up some tickets to Coach Dan and I. Unfortunately, we weren't able to make it, but thank you so much for listening to the show, and thank you for offering up some Bears tickets. That's really awesome of you. So we really
That was awesome.
We appreciate every listener and everybody that chats with us.
We appreciate you more now.
That's true. So if anybody wants to beat Dennis's gift, let us know.
I'm still looking for that Nathan Walker snow globe. I almost said bobblehead, and I was like, wait, that's not right.
But anyway, so thank you for the comments on Facebook. Thank you for the offer of the tickets for as a thank you to us for doing the shows. We really do appreciate it. So, you know, Hershey Bear fans, man, they're pretty good people. I'm glad that we're associated.
Did I tell you a story about the first time I went to a Bears game?
I feel like you have, but tell it again.
So it's not like a great story. I went with the now wife, girlfriend at the time. We went up to see a game in Hershey, and I didn't have any Hershey gear, so I'm wearing an Ovechkin red Caps jersey. And we walk up and we walk into the stadium, and we're kind of like, we don't have our tickets. We're trying to find out what Will Call is, and I clearly look confused.
Well, you always do, to be honest.
That's fair. And one of the guys at Will Call who works there just kind of, I hear him just go, hey, Ovechkin, come here. And I'm like, huh? And I looked over, he's like, come here, you're looking, come on. And he waves me over, and then this is like right when I think it was the year Boudreaux came down. So it was the first year the Caps made the playoffs under Boudreaux and for Ovechkin. Everyone, you know, the guy was just really friendly. We were chatting about Boudreaux and the Caps and Hershey and things like that. And but it was a pretty funny way to like find out how to get to my tickets.
Good people up in Hershey. I think it's just the smell of chocolate in the air.
It probably is, dude. I need to go. All right, we need to go to a Bears game next year. Like, oh, that's gonna be a little bit harder for me potentially. But you know, I don't know if he'd be old enough to really go to a game.
Oh, he could totally go.
I mean, he could, but he would just sit there. He's gonna be like,
have him meet Santa in December. Man, he'd love it. They do that.
Yeah, I don't think I want to do that whole meet Santa thing when you're like an infant, because they're just gonna be meh, like freaking the.
That's the best part.
That's so mean.
It's great to look back at. Look, be like, look how terrified you were.
look how bad a parent I was. That seems like the worst idea.
All right. Well, is that it for Down on the Farm?
Yeah.
All right, well, go Bears. You had a good season.
Get that comeback.
Go Stingrays. You just announced your next season, but that's about it. You're done too. So thank you. Thanks for being around, Bears and Stingrays. Yeah, been great down on the farm.
It's a, you know what? It's a good, solid relationship between the three clubs.
Well, yeah, you know, especially the Stingrays, because they have no players of ours.
That's true. And they're the one, I think it's on their Twitter page or on their Facebook, or their homepage, were like, proud part, what is it? Not AHL, ECHL partner of the Washington Capitals. I'm like, oh, they like each other. Even though I'd still like for it to be closer.
Yeah, that'd be nice. I still miss Reading.
Yeah, I'll take Baltimore. Or at this point, there's an ECHL team in Norfolk.
That's 4 hours away from me. It's too far.
Do you want to know how far South Carolina is?
We checked. I think it's like
it's
9.
A lot. It's many hours.
We could fly.
Nothing. I did do that once.
We should. We should do that next year where we go to all three affiliates.
I am not flying to South Carolina. I got no money, man. I'm about to have a kid.
See, I don't. I have all this money.
You're going to FaceTime me while you're there.
All right. So go Bears. Go Stingrays. See you next season. Now let's go around the NHL. Hi, everybody. Welcome back to the show. Here we go. We're going around the NHL. The Stanley Cup playoffs are in full gear. Who would have ever thought that some of these teams would be in their conference finals? I did not.
Yeah, what the? All right, we'll get to that in a minute.
This is a crazy Stanley Cup playoffs, but that's why we love the game. Coach Dan, what is going on around the NHL?
Well, before checking in on the playoffs, the NHL announced the finalists for their end of season awards. So real quickly, let's go through those. The Hart Trophy, Tampa's Nikita Kucherov, Pittsburgh's Sidney Crosby, which kind of feels like a throw-in, and Edmonton's Connor McDavid are up for that one. St. Louis's Jordan Binnington, Buffalo's Rasmus Dahlin, and Vancouver's Elias Pettersson are up for the Calder. St. Louis's Craig Berube, Tampa's John Cooper, and the Islanders' Barry Trotz are up for the Jack Adams. Chicago's Patrick Kane, Tampa's Nikita Kucherov, and Edmonton's Connor McDavid are up for the Ted Lindsay Award. Calgary's Mark Giordano, Nashville's Wayne Simmonds, and Carolina's Justin Williams are up for the Mark Messier. Arizona's Oliver Ekman-Larsson, the Rangers' Henrik Lundqvist, and Minnesota's Jason Zucker are up for the King Clancy. San Jose's Brent Burns, Calgary's Mark Giordano, and Tampa's Victor Hedman are up for the Norris. Dallas's Ben Bishop, the Islanders' Robin Lehner, and Tampa's Andre Vasilevsky are up. He has like an extra I in his name that should not be there. Are up for the Vezina. It's his last Vasilevsky. It's the last few letters. It should be like SKY because it's like Sky, but it's SKIY. Like, why is there an I there? I feel like when they like he was born, there was a typo on his birth certificate. Columbus's Nick Foligno, Islanders' Robin Lehner, and San Jose's Joe Thornton are up for the Masterton. I can't speak tonight, guys. Florida's Alexander spelled A-L-E-K-S-A-N-D-E-R, which is like both kind of cool and weird. Florida's Alexander Barkov, Calgary's Sean Monahan, and St. Louis's Ryan O'Reilly are up for the Lady Bing. And Boston's Patrice Bergeron, St. Louis's Ryan O'Reilly, and Vegas's Mark Stone are up for the Selkie. Moving on, more than 200 women have come together to improve their game by getting better resources for themselves and one that they damn well deserve. In a prepared statement, professional players such as Team USA's Hillary Knight said that they will, and they said we, will not play in any professional leagues in North America this season until we get the resources that professional hockey demands and deserves. And you know what, Brandon? They're right. It's a bit ridiculous when you look at what they're expected to do. The statement goes on to say, we cannot make a sustainable living playing in the current state of the professional game. These quotes also are from a TSN article. The players have no health insurance. They make as low as $2,000 for a season. I feel like Ovechkin gets $2,000 for every period that he plays.
That's just for a signature signing.
And these people are expected to play an entire season for $2,000. That means that they need to get other jobs, which will limit their ability to adequately prepare their bodies for each game, which is absurd.
Here's the other thing. Say that the women go and play Worlds like they did just a month or so ago. They're expected to then leave their full-time gigs for a month and a half and go play hockey in a foreign land somewhere.
Yeah, how many jobs are going to be like, okay, go ahead.
Yeah, we'll see you in a little bit.
Yeah, enjoy. We'll see you when you get back, when you don't have a job anymore. That is ridiculous, and that definitely, most assuredly, needs to get fixed.
But here's the other thing, too, this is serious. If somebody were to invest in women's hockey, start up a league, do everything that the women should have, that means that the fans out there listening have to support them.
That's true, too.
It's not just – one of the reasons why there isn't a lot of support for women's hockey is because there wasn't an audience for a long time. I think the world's changing, especially in the last couple of years. And you're seeing, you know, Ronda Rousey being one of the biggest names in MMA. She just headlined WrestleMania for the WWE. I mean, women in sports – I mean, look at U.S. soccer. I mean, the men's team didn't even make the World Cup last time that was around. So, I mean, women's sport is becoming more and more of an attraction, and you're seeing more women grow up as they're growing up play sports, which wasn't something that, you know, even when we were kids, wasn't a huge focus for girls growing up. So as that changes, if you do want companies to invest in a league for women, no matter what sport, you have to support it. You can't just, you know, share something on Facebook and say, oh, that's really cool of them. You need to go to games. You need to watch it. When that women's exhibition happened on the NHL Network just a couple weeks ago between Canada and the U.S., how many people actually watched that?
Well, I don't have the NHL Network.
Well, then you're part of the problem.
No, what? I don't have it. Put it on. Oh, goddamn.
But, like, if the ratings aren't there, people aren't going to invest in it. So it's not just corporate people that are terrible about not supporting them, because they should, but it's also the fans. Put your money where your mouth is. If you want it, you have to be a part of it.
You gotta go watch.
Exactly.
Well put, Brandon. Well put. All right, let's go ahead and check in on the Stanley Cup playoffs. We're gonna start in the West, where St. Louis eliminated Dallas in 7 games in double overtime. Once again, double overtime, game 7 game. And then San Jose and Colorado are playing, game 7 tonight. Over in the East, Carolina.
Hold on, real quick, by the way. Grubby is the last 2018 Capital from the Stanley Cup champion team to still be playing.
That is true. That is surprising. You know, I don't think we would have expected that.
No.
Going into the playoffs.
No. All right, go on.
With the Caps limit. All right. Carolina, those bunch of jerks, they swept the Islanders and will take on Boston in the Eastern Conference Finals, who eliminated Columbus in 7 games. So of the, four that were left, 3 of them went to 7 games, which is rather interesting. That's news. Oh, no, wait. You know what? I forgot about a few things. That's what I meant to say before. So last little bit of news. This goes without writing down my notes, so I'm just going to kind of wing it. Steve Yzerman, who was the general manager and probably team president or some other title with the Tampa Bay Lightning, he left that organization. He is now the general manager and probably other titles with the Detroit Red Wings. So he has gone back to Detroit. The Red Wings have a GM, or had a GM, I should say, in Ken Holland, who is a longtime GM with them, one of the most respected GMs in the National Hockey League. He now has left the Red Wings and has signed on to be the general manager of the Edmonton Oilers.
Wow.
So if you're Connor McDavid, you're like, all right, that's interesting. We brought in a guy that has shown how to build a winner, given Detroit's going through a bit of a rebuild over the last couple of years. But he knows how to build a winner, and I would not, and we've said this before, but I would not be surprised to see Edmonton becoming a good team in the next couple of years. Which that gives us a chance to get McDavid if he's like, I want to leave.
They want to save some money. We could do that.
Yeah, right. So that's it. That's the news for the past 2 weeks in now, the NHL.
We do have to bring up the IIHF World Championship is going on. It starts this Friday, May 10th. Let me go over just a couple of the games until we talk again. All Team USA games will be televised live on the NHL Network. So if you're a USA hockey fan, you will get a chance to see the team compete at Worlds. And they will all also be broadcasting more than 30 games throughout the tournament. So let's just go over that schedule real quick. So it all starts on Friday, May 10th. You can see Finland versus Canada at 10 a.m. These are all Eastern Standard Time here in the USA. That's on the NHL Network. Then USA opens up against Slovakia, and that is at 2 p.m. in the afternoon. So take a late lunch while you're at work and go watch the U.S. Go up against Slovakia. And then on Saturday, May 11th, all-day hockey, Denmark versus France at 6 a.m., Germany versus Great Britain at 10 a.m., Slovakia versus Finland at 2 p.m. Lots of hockey there. Sunday, May 12th, you've got the U.S. versus France at 6 a.m., Denmark versus Germany at 10 a.m., Great Britain versus Canada, 2 p.m. I like to watch that one, actually. That's kind of interesting. Monday, May 11th, U.S. versus Finland, 10 a.m., NHL Network, Slovakia versus Canada at 2 p.m., and then on Tuesday, May 14th, Great Britain versus Denmark, 10 a.m., Switzerland versus Austria at 2 p.m. So no OV on the NHL Network within the next week. So that kind of sucks. But lots of U.S., lots of Canada games you get to check out. Let's see, let's just paging down here. When is your first chance to watch OV? I don't think it's for another week. Czech Republic versus Italy. That's Verona, right? He's from the Czech Republic, isn't he?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so Czech Republic versus Italy, 2 p.m. game. That's on Friday, May 17th. So if you do want to watch Verona, you can do that. And Canada versus Germany is May 18th. Sweden versus Switzerland is also the 18th. No Russia. That's kind of surprising. Oh, here you go. First chance. Sunday, May 19th, Switzerland versus Russia at 2 p.m. So there's your next chance to see Alexander Ovechkin playing in the Russian jersey, which he'll be playing in 2022. So a little preview of the future. There's your chat. So if you want to continue the conversation with Coach Dan or I, you can. It's real easy. All you got to do is tweet to either one of us. You can tweet to me at Brando Cash, Coach Dan. Where can people tweet to you at?
You can find me on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan, talking all kinds of Capitals related things when they happen. So this is kind of part of the year, I guess, where things go a little quiet for me. I'm also on there talking about Arsenal Football Club, the Bills, occasionally the Skins, if they actually do something that isn't stupid. And a whole other bit of things as they come up that I might find interesting, but that's on Twitter at WTP Coach Dan. But hey, if you've enjoyed our show and our rambling, we got a long one tonight. If you've enjoyed this, go ahead and check us out on Facebook at facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. It's where you find out when new shows are coming out, as well as other fun things related to the Washington Capitals and whatever pops into Brandon's head during the day. That's facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. But Brandon, if people have enjoyed this show and they want to know about other shows that you might be doing, where might they find that?
You can go over to brandocash.com, get all the information you're ever going to need about What the Puck and all the other podcasts we do here at Brando Cash Entertainment. Like Coach Dan said, go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/whatthepuckpod. We also have a Twitter at whatthepuckpod. Like us, follow us. Whenever a new show comes out, you will be the first to know. Like Coach Dan said, I share all kinds of things. Like, did you know Gritty is getting a Funko Pop? That's right. We posted a picture of the Gritty Funko Pop up on our Facebook page. Go check it out over there. Now, we do this show for free. You listen, stream, and download for free on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, TuneIn, Player.fm, Overcast, Google Play Music, and Satchel. All we ask in return is for you to please spread the word about the show. Write us an Apple Podcast review, and then let people know on Facebook and Twitter and Tumblr and Pinterest and Instagram and Reddit and Snapchat and Vero and Twitch, anywhere you are social on the web or with your phone. Say I'm a Washington Capitals fan. I listen to What the Puck, and you should too. So that's pretty much it for the show this week. Coach Dan, it's been fun. I can't believe we're done.
Indeed.
We're done doing.
Yeah.
We're done podding the hockey for a little bit here. We still got our what the puckies to hand out, but I don't like not talking puck in May. I miss it already.
It's a little weird.
Yeah. All right, everybody. That's it for the show this week. Thank you all for tuning in. Everybody, say it loud, say it proud. What's up, babes?
Do I have to change that now?
I think in next season you have to. It won't make sense anymore.
This has been a production of Brando Cash Entertainment. Music by DJ Wolfman. Voiceover by Sarah Jax. For more information, go to brandocash.com.
Finn, oh, okay. Let go. Finn, not a turtle.
I want the Ninja Turtle.
Now, he's trying to steal a pillow now.
I want a pillow.
No. Get your
own. No.
Get out of here. What? Stop trying to steal stuff.
Fine. You'll give me a pillow. I'll take something else.
Go upstairs. Go upstairs. Hey. 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 What did you steal?
You better not edit this out.
Hey. Hey. Finn. No. No. Finn. Come here. Come here. Come. Oh, you're such a jerk.
What did he get now?
I think he has a napkin.
Oh, that's weird.
Come here. Come here. Go to Carolina. Come here.
Is that a person or do you literally mean the state?
The state.
Oh, okay. Like a paper napkin?
Yes. Finn. Go upstairs. Get. All right, we're talking about Holpi, right?
I think so.
Finn!
Oh, no! Did he get the pillow back?
He got a different one.
Dude likes pillows.
Finn, go upstairs. Go upstairs. You know, you can have... I'm going to get you a turtle. I don't even care. Hold on. There you go. You got one.
You realize he just won, right?
Yeah, I do. All right, well, I think that's pretty much it for Cap's World. We'll give out what the Puckies eventually, but not on this show. But we still got some hockey to talk about. We still got some minor league guys to talk about. So we're going to take a quick break, and then we'll be back with Down on the Farm. You are listening to What the Puck. That felt weird.
A little bit.
All right, everybody, welcome back to the show. Do we even need to take a break? Is it really a break if it's just the intro? I don't think so.
No.
All right, so, all right, that's it for what's going on around, or that's, what do we call it? Caps World? That's it for what? I don't know what. All right,
we don't really call it anything.
No,
that's all. It's just like that's all that's going on in Caps World. Let's go. Down on the farm. Right. Do you want it? Like when I do the solo show, I don't know if I actually input that. I'm just like, screw it, we're going down on the farm. Let's talk about it.
I like the intro. I like the music.
No, I do too. You can say something like, let's go down on the farm, go to the intro, and then you say, all right, Dan, what's going on with Hershey?
All right, let's try this out. All right, that's it for what's going on in Caps World. Now let's go around. Nope, that's still wrong.